نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. Juz number 6 from ayah number 148 of Surah An-Nisa. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. Allah does not like the public mention of evil except by one who has been wronged, and ever is Allah hearing and knowing. In the previous ayat of Surah An-Nisa, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like for us to stand in public and whisper. If small groups of people are standing and whispering, Allah does not like that, and He has given us certain conditions where that is acceptable. Other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does not like for us to publicly speak about evil. لَا يُحِبُ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ. Jahar means something that is evident, it is public, people can see. Allah does not like us for us to mention evil in public, except if someone has been wronged. Meaning that whenever we hear or see anything that is evil and that is haram, that is sinful, Allah does not like us to converse about it. The only way a person is allowed to speak about it in public is that if the person has himself or herself been wronged. An oppressed person can stand up and seek justice. An oppressed person can talk to someone else about some evil that has happened to them. Other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish for us to make public any evil that we see, to hide the faults of others. Because when we hide the faults of others, Allah will hide our faults as well. The other hikmah is to stop the spread of evil in society. When we hear of something that is bad, something that is unacceptable, and we know that people are practicing it, the more we talk about it, the more we get used to it, and our guards start coming down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect the hearts of the believer and also the soul of the entire society. Allah says, if instead you show some good or conceal it or pardon an offense, indeed Allah is ever pardoning and competent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always able to exact retribution, although He pardons out of His grace. Allah wants us to do the same. Allah says, instead you show some good. You know, even if someone has done something wrong against you, show some good. Or Allah says, at least conceal it. If you can't be good to them, then at least conceal it. Remember, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said that good character, good akhlaq, is not that you are good to someone who is good to you, but you are good to someone who is bad to you, who cuts off from you. And this hadith is in meaning. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, of the two people who verbally abuse each other, the sin is on the one who starts it, and on the condition that the mazloom, the oppressed, did not cross the limits. This is a hadith from Sahih Muslim. In Surah Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the recompense for an evil is an evil like it, but whoever pardons and improves, aslaha, then his reward is with Allah. Allah encourages pardoning and reform. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are levels of reacting to evil. He says, you show some good. Or he says, you conceal the harm that someone else has done, and you just let it go. Allah says, you pardon an offense as if they had never done it. Subhanallah. Because Allah is like that. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. He is afuwan, He is pardoning. قَدِيرًا, He is competent, He is able to exact retribution, but He doesn't. Allah says, "Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and wish to discriminate between Allah and His messengers and say, 'We believe in some and disbelieve in others,' and wish to adopt a way in between, those are the disbelievers truly. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment." So what is a middle way? A middle way is that you believe in some of the messengers and you disbelieve in the other messengers. That is the middle ground. Allah says, true Islam is that you believe in all of the messengers and all of the messages of Allah. Allah says, do not make a mistake. Those are the disbelievers. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Allah says, but they who believe in Allah and His messengers and do not discriminate between any of them, to those He is going to give their rewards. And Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. The people of the scripture ask you to bring down to them a book from the heaven. But they had asked of Moses even greater than that and said, show us Allah outright. You remember in Surah Al-Baqarah, we learned that the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam, after he came back from Mount Torah, show us Allah, otherwise we will not believe you. So Allah says, so the thunderbolt struck them for their wrongdoing. Then they took the calf for worship after clear evidences had come to them. And we pardoned that, and we gave Moses a clear authority, Sultanam Mubina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him miracles. And we raised over them the mount for refusal of their covenant. The covenant was that they would follow the prophet that would come to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we said to them, enter the gate, bowing humbly. After they were freed from Fir'aun, they were led to a place of safety and security. Jerusalem was supposed to be their home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them and said, enter the gate, bowing humbly. And we said to them, do not transgress on the Sabbath. That was the story of the fishing village. You remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them by forbidding them to work on the day of the Sabbath, which was Saturday. And He tested them by sending in more fish on Friday and the weekend. So they would set out some nets or dig out some holes on Friday, and they would just simply pull them in on Sunday, circumventing the wishes of Allah. Allah says, and we took from them a solemn covenant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relaying all of their mistakes. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we see all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them. And He tells them, remember my blessings upon you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing all of their instances of disobedience. That instead of being grateful to Allah, they denied Him. They were insolent and demanded to see Him outright. Zero humility. Then they refused to follow the Torah. So Allah raised the Mount of Tur above them. And then they were told to enter the gate of Jerusalem bowing humbly. They made fun of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told them not to transgress the Sabbath. But they tried to circumvent that as well. Allah says, and we cursed them for their breaking of the covenant and their disbelief in the signs of Allah and their killing of the prophets without right. And they're saying, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْف. Our hearts are wrapped. Meaning that they are sealed against reception. We have enough knowledge. We don't need any more. Allah says, rather, Allah has sealed them because of their disbelief, so they believe not except for a few. This is the curse of Allah when He seals the hearts. When He seals the hearts against receiving the truth, against receiving knowledge. We all have to examine our own hearts. Allah says, and we curse them for their disbelief and their saying against Mary a great slander. They accused her of fornication. A'udhu billah. Allah says, and for their saying, indeed we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill Him, nor did they crucify Him, but another was made to resemble Him to them. And indeed those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it, except the following of assumption, and they did not kill Him for certain. Another meaning is that they did not kill him, being certain of his identity. That is, they killed another, assuming it was Jesus, peace be upon him. Allah says, "Bar rafa'a Allahu ilayhi." Rather, Allah raised him to himself, and ever is Allah exalted in might and wise, and there is none from the people of the scripture, but that he will surely believe in him, that is Jesus, before his death. One of the interpretations of this ayah is that his death refers to that of Jesus after his return to earth. Or it can mean the death of every individual from among the people of the scripture. Allah knows best. Allah continues, and on the day of resurrection, he will be against them a witness. For wrongdoing on the part of the Jews, we made unlawful for them certain good foods which had been lawful to them, and for the averting from the way of Allah many people, and for their taking of usury while they had been forbidden from it, and their consuming of the people's wealth unjustly, and we have prepared for the disbelievers among them a painful punishment. These are all sins that Allah has listed. It does not matter if we follow the rituals of religion. If we disobey Allah, if we consistently break His limits, and we consume the wealth of other people unjustly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit such people amongst criminals. But those firm in knowledge among them and the believers believe in what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was revealed before you, and the establishers of prayer, and the givers of zakah, and the believers in Allah and the last day, those we will give a great reward. Belief in Allah means that a person is going to change all of their choices, all of their decision makings. We will do business according to the will of Allah, to the teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him. We will deal within our relationships according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will fear him with regards to those who are weaker than us. We will fear him in how we earn and spend our money, on how we raise our children, and how we fulfill the rights of one another. All of this is Islam. This is an expression of a true expression actually of whether we believe in Akhirah or not. It must be all of the above. Inna awhayna ilayka. Indeed, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we revealed to Noah and the prophets after him, and we revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, the descendants, Jesus, Job, Jonah, Aaron, and Solomon, and to David, we gave the book of Psalms. The descendants are who? Al-Asbat, the 12 tribes who were descended from Yaqub, Jacob alayhi salam. وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And we have sent messengers about whom we have related their stories to you before, and messengers about whom we have not related to you. And Allah spoke to Moses with direct speech, Musa alayhi salam. But Allah bears witness to that which He has revealed to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself bears witness about the Qur'an. He has sent it down with His knowledge, and the angels bear witness as well. And sufficient is Allah as witness. He does not need the angels to bear witness. Indeed, those who disbelieve and avert people from the way of Allah have certainly gone far astray. Surely those who disbelieve and commit wrong or injustice, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a path. Except the path of hell, they will abide therein forever, and that for Allah is always easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secure us from hellfire. Ameen. Ya Yuhannas, O mankind, the messenger has come to you with the truth from your Lord, so believe, it is better for you. But if you disbelieve, then indeed, to Allah belongs everything that is in the heavens and the earth, and ever is Allah knowing and wise. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, now the address is to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth. What is excess in their religion? That they have attributed some divine qualities to certain creations of Allah, or they have revered them excessively to the point where those entities have become more important to them than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah and His word, which He directed to Mary, and a soul created at a command from Him. So believe in Allah and His messengers, and do not say three, meaning the Trinity. Allah says, desist, stop. It is better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is He above having a son. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. Why would you need someone else? وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah is sufficient for everything, and everything in the heavens and the earth, even to the smallest thing, belongs to Allah. He has armies at His disposal. He does not need a son. He does not need a son to enhance His identity. He does not need a son to fulfill His commands. He does not need a son to inherit Him, because Allah is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. He is the ever-living, the self-subsisting. He establishes others. He has no needs whatsoever. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is no one like Him. The excess in religion comes when we assign certain attributes that solely belong to Allah to His creation. Subhanallah, even Muslims do that nowadays. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, "Do not elevate me like the Christians elevated Isa ibn Maryam. I am just a slave of Allah, so just call me His slave and messenger." This hadith is authentic in Bukhari and Musnad Ahmad. Allah mentions in the Quran about the people of the book. They took their priests and rabbis as lords besides Allah. So Adi bin Hatim asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he heard this ayah that we do not worship the priests and the rabbis. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, "But do you not make halal what they have made halal and make haram what they have made haram?" The last word, the first word and the last word is a word of Allah. The first guidance and the last guidance is the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one has a right to be listened to or obeyed in reference to Islam except Allah and His messenger. And that is the true religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. He is sufficient as a disposer of affairs. You don't need anyone else besides Allah. Never would the Messiah disdain to be a servant of Allah, nor would the angels near to Him. And whoever disdains His worship and is arrogant, He will gather them to Himself altogether. Subhanallah, Allah says in this ayah that Isa alayhi salam would never think that he was above worshipping Allah. Even he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was happy to be a servant and slave of Allah, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next, Allah says, "And for those who believed and did righteous deeds, He will give them in full their rewards and grant them extra from His bounty. But as for those who disdained and were arrogant, He will punish them with a painful punishment, and they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper." The so-called gods that they rely on, the so-called saints that they rely on and they pray to, Allah says they will not find them there to help them on the Day of Judgment. Ya Yuhannas, now Allah addresses all of mankind. O mankind, there has come to you a conclusive proof from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. جاءكم برهان من ربكم وأنزلنا إليكم نورا مبينا. A clear nur, which is the Quran. Allah says, so those who believe in Allah and hold fast to Him, He will admit them to mercy from Himself and bounty and guide them to Himself on a straight path. Is that not where we want to go? Which direction are we going on? Where is Sirat al-Mustaqim taking us? Where is the Sirat taking us? What is the end goal? Who is at the end of it? Is it simply Jannah? Jannah is just a gift that is given to the one whom Allah is pleased with, the one who seeks the pleasure of Allah, the one who wants to make Allah happy, the one who loves what Allah loves, the one who hates what Allah hates. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. Allah says that straight path, it leads to me. Allah says He will guide us to Himself on that straight path, and He will have mercy upon us if we truly believe in Him and hold fast to Him. How do we hold fast to Him? It is the Quran and it is obedience. We must follow the Quran. We must hold fast to the Quran because the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said that the Quran is the robe of Allah. Next, Allah says, they request from you a legal ruling. Why is this ayah right after these beautiful ayat about going toward Allah, staying on the straight path? Because we want to please Allah. We want to walk on the path that He loves, because that is the only way we can go to Him. And this path is made up of certain rulings, certain decisions. So the Sahaba were very concerned about coming to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asking him, what can I do? What can we do to come closer to Allah? They would often ask questions like, what is it that Allah loves best? Well, then after that. What is the one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests the most? And the one after that. What are the major sins? Oh, how should we treat our women? What can we do about orphans? Because they recognized that everything that they do in their lives, it can either take them toward Allah or it can take them away from Allah. So they came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked him. Allah says, they request from you a legal ruling. Say, Allah gives you a ruling concerning one having neither descendants nor ascendants as heirs. So this ayah also talks about legal heirs. Allah says, if a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, she will have half of what he left. And he inherits from her if she dies and has no child. But if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left, meaning they will share in the two-thirds of the property that is left. If there are both brothers and sisters, the male will have the share of two females. Allah makes clear to you His law, lest you go astray, and Allah is knowing of all things. So the last ayah of Surah An-Nisa talks about inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each one of us the rights that we deserve, the rights that He in His wisdom sees fit for us to have. And the essence of worshipping Allah is to accept His rulings. Alhamdulillah. Next we will begin Surah Al-Ma'idah. The word Ma'idah means the table. It refers to the table spread with food requested by the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, and we will come to that event in verse number 112, inshallah. This surah is also revealed in Medina. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. O you who have believed, fulfill all contracts. Aqd. The singular of uqud is aqd, which means a knot, to tie a knot. It includes promises, covenants, and oaths. The first covenant that we have is a covenant that we have made with Allah, that we will not worship anyone else except Him. And we have made this promise up in the heavens before we ever came down to earth in our bodies. When a person says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is a covenant and we must fulfill it. Allah orders us in the Quran to fulfill the covenant with each other. When we promise each other, when we vow with each other, when we set up a contract with one another, we must fulfill that contract. Remember that the hypocrite has three characteristics. He or she shows dishonesty when trusted, tells a lie when speaking, and breaks a promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed that mu'mineen, believers, must fulfill their promises. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said repeatedly, there is no iman and no religion in one who does not fulfill his promises and fulfill his covenants. So in the first ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah orders us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, fulfill all contracts. Lawful for you are the animals of grazing livestock, except for that which is recited to you in this Quran. Hunting not being permitted while you are in the state of ihram. Indeed, Allah ordains what He intends. The next few ayat are about what we can eat and what we cannot eat, and this is part of fulfilling our oath with Allah. Allah says, O you who have believed, do not violate the rights of Allah or the sanctity of the sacred month, or neglect the marking of sacrificial animals and garlanding them, or violate the safety of those coming to the sacred house seeking bounty from their Lord and His approval. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believers that we must fulfill the rites of Hajj in the sacred month. We should not neglect the marking of the sacrificial animals which are taken for sacrifice after completion of the rituals of Hajj. In modern times, those animals are for a lot of us are already there, and we pay for them and they are sacrificed on our behalf. But in the times past, people used to take their animals with them and they would mark them and garland them to show that they were dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He mentions that Allah appreciates everything that we do for His sake, and that we mark special things for His sake, because it shows their sanctity. It shows that we are willing to sacrifice for Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people should not violate the safety of those coming to the sacred house, because they are coming for the sake of Allah. They are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then says, but when you come out of ihram, then you may hunt. So hunting is not allowed when a mu'min is in the state of ihram. Other than that, it is allowed. And do not let the hatred of a people for having obstructed you from al-Masjid al-Haram lead you to commit aggression. It is simply incredible the high level of character, the nobility of character that Allah expects from believers. If we hate someone, if we have negative feelings in our hearts for another person or another group or another nation, we should not let it come in the way of our actions. And we should not commit aggression against people simply because we have the opportunity to take revenge. Allah says, and do not let the hatred of a people for having obstructed you from al-Masjid al-Haram lead you to commit aggression. Watch your behavior. Allah says, and cooperate in righteousness and piety. If someone is doing good, help them to do good. But do not cooperate in sin and aggression. Do not help someone do sin, commit sins, or aggression. It doesn't matter how you feel. Allah says, do the right thing. Treat people better than how you were treated. And look, then Allah tells us, the believers, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is severe in penalty. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. In the next ayah, Allah tells us, prohibited to you are dead animals, meaning animals which have died for any reason before we have had a chance to slaughter them. Prohibited to you are dead animals, blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah, and those animals killed by strangling, or by a violent blow, or by a headlong fall, or by the goring of horns, and those from which a wild animal has eaten, except what you are able to slaughter before its death, and those which are sacrificed on stone altars, meaning in the name of other than Allah, for idols. And prohibited is that you seek decision through divining arrows. That is grave disobedience. Let's go through this list one at a time. The first thing Allah has mentioned are dead animals. And like we've said before, any animal that has died before we have had a chance to slaughter it. We are also forbidden to drink blood. We are forbidden to eat the flesh of swine, pigs, and anything that has been dedicated to other than Allah, any food, any meat, any sweets, any bread that has been dedicated to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Muslims do this or non-Muslims do this, any kind of food dedicated to other than Allah and upon which the name of any other creation of Allah is taken is haram, forbidden for us. Then the animals that are killed by a violent accident, whether they are strangled to death or by a violent blow to the head, because many cultures actually kill their animals, the animals that they want to eat, by a violent blow. Islam teaches us to be kind to animals even at the point of killing them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they have fallen down or they were killed by the goring of horns from another animal, except something that you have saved and you were able to slaughter it before it died, and anything again that was sacrificed to idols in temples, all of this is forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is a grave disobedience. Then Allah says, this day, those who disbelieve have despaired of defeating your religion. All of this, all of these injunctions about eating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this has despaired them. Why? Because Allah has completed our religion for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us complete guidance, and no one can misguide us if we follow this guidance. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. Allah then says, this day, those who disbelieve have despaired of defeating your religion, so fear them not, but fear me. This day, I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah truly is forgiving and merciful, because Allah says, even though these are very strict laws, if someone is in danger of starvation, starving to death, then they can take from this kind of food just in order to survive. Allah has made our religion very easy for us. So even the things that He has forbidden, He had made them halal under certain extraneous circumstances. This was the last ayah that was revealed in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected our religion for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly given us a great blessing in that He has guided us for every single thing so that we would not have an excuse against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Now it is up to us. Allah does not force guidance upon us, but Allah wants us to pick guidance out of love for Him alone. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has been made lawful for them? Say, lawful for you are all good foods and game caught by what you have trained of hunting animals. Most of the things in this dunya on earth are halal for us. There are just a few things that you can count perhaps on one hand that Allah has forbidden for us, and there is hikmah in it for us. However, most of the things on earth are halal and they are pure. So every single thing on earth is there for us to partake of and enjoy and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and also game that is caught by your hunting animals such as dogs or falcons. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if we send out animals to hunt, we must take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we send them out. To say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before we send out the animals to get the prey back to us. Therefore, Allah says, say, lawful for you are all good foods and game caught by what you have trained of hunting animals, which you train as Allah has taught you. So eat of what they catch for you and mention the name of Allah upon it and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, about what we eat, how we obtain that food. Allah says, الْيَوْمَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, this day all good foods have been made lawful, and the food of those who were given the scripture is lawful for you, and your food is lawful for them. And lawful in marriage are chaste, meaning pure, women from among the believers, and chaste women from among those who were given the scripture before you, when you have given them their due compensation, meaning mahar. Desiring chastity, you should desire purity, not unlawful sexual intercourse or taking secret lovers. Do not have relationships with them simply to have physical pleasure. Allah says, and whoever denies the faith, his work has become worthless, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers. In this ayah, Allah allows us to eat good food. It is lawful for us, and also food of the people of the book. Now the food of the people of the book, remember at that time, was prepared according to the rulings sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous scriptures. Meaning that they would slaughter them according to the teachings of Islam, and they would say Bismillah, they would bless the meat. And so the Bani Israel did that, and the Christians did that as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the food of the people of the scripture is allowed. And this was because the Sahaba were wondering whether they could eat their food or not. So all of their food is acceptable for the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even their women are acceptable for the Muslims to marry as long as it is done for the right reasons. In fact, Allah mentions at the end of this ayah that people should desire chastity, purity, meaning take them in marriage and not just to have affairs or to sleep with someone. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and our generations from this. Ameen. Because if someone does not do that, they are in fact denying Iman. Because Allah says at the end of this ayah, and whoever denies the faith, his work has become worthless, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers. Sometimes Muslim men think that they can have different relationships with the women of the book, and Allah will not question them. Then they go and they find a good, pious Muslim wife to marry. Subhanallah, this is complete hypocrisy, and this is denial of faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Deen is about fulfilling the pleasure of Allah, not fulfilling our pleasures at the expense of Akhirah.